You are listening.
He said.
With LA Rob. LA Rob.
D the VIP.
Oh, yeah.
And we're back. You were listening to He Said, She Said with LA Rob and D the VIP. We are going to be going into an in-depth spoiler-filled review of Shazam. If you have not seen the movie, go see it right now. And we are going to jump right into it with our first impressions. Dee.
Yes.
What did you think of Shazam?
I loved it.
You loved it?
I loved it.
Wow.
I loved it. Let me repeat it again. I loved it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you first heard a movie about a man, about a little boy who says a magic word and turns into this adult superhero, were you excited about that?
No, I thought it was the stupidest idea I had ever heard. I just knew that this was going to go wrong.
Uh-huh.
It was not, I mean, it had too many ways it can go wrong. You have this superhero that is a kid in a grown-up's body, so it's kind of like big. And I couldn't see this working.
Okay. Did you know anything about, you didn't know anything about the character?
Had never heard of it before they announced the movie and the premise of the movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Didn't know a thing.
Right. So now you know a little bit more about where the character comes from. How do you think that fits into, when Shazam is alongside characters like Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Batman? How is Shazam different?
Shazam is like much needed kind of comic relief, although I think Aquaman and what's the other one who runs real fast? I think that they add
The Flash,
yeah. I think they add some comic relief themselves, but I don't know. It was okay, so you have this adult who's playing like he was a kid who was transformed into an adult, and somehow the actor gets to capture this sweet, innocent, inquisitive, bad goodness of a kid, all in one, which I think is crazy. Like, you actually could see this grown, like the childlike nature in this adult. And I think that was probably hard to do. I don't know, but it was believable to me.
Yeah, I really dug how the movie was really had an edge to it. It wasn't all just, sappy. It was like when it, incorporated magic and sort of the darker stuff,
mm-hmm.
and the more interestingly, the weirder stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where it really soared for me, like just how they explained like the whole wizard thing. And I thought Jaime Hansu did a really good job. Like,
yeah, he's
it's such a weird,
so much superhero money.
Like, I really bought. I really like got like no, seriously. He's a wizard. He's old. He's wise. He has these. He's powerful.
He, like, had been on there for a quick... It was kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy when he was in it for, like, a quick few minutes. So, it really... I saw him, and, I recognized who it was. But that wasn't it for me. It was the kid, I think. The kid trying to figure out what are his powers and just navigating the world of getting these powers and acting like you would expect a kid to act like if they had been turned into Superman, and I'm doing air quotes because that's not...
Right. I like how... I think it was in the older the wizard was was an old white guy, but in mm-hmm. the new 52 version, the powers of Shazam were bestowed upon Billy by a black man.
Mm-hmm.
in this time of inclusiveness
and diversity.
So
And this was a very diverse cast because, you know, his brothers and sisters, they explained it away by being this foster family. So you had an African-American, Asian character, Hispanic.
Yeah, and I think that's an audience that really hasn't been catered to. You know, it just so happened to just that's the source material, but you never see that totally. It's not glanced over. It's not treated like, you know. It's actually like, you know, this is the family. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, this is the circumstances, you know. You know, and like I say, you're kind of seeing a world you normally wouldn't see, you know. Like, you know, you have, you know, an older, you know, one of the foster kids is older. She's about to go into college.
Right. And,
you know, so everyone's kind of like, it couldn't be more diverse. Even the foster parents are a mixed couple.
Yeah, they're mixed. And they met because they were foster kids themselves. Yeah. And so they are taking, I guess, the hard-to-place kids, which Billy is one of them because he keeps running away. You have the adorable little girl, Darla, who made me think of, the Little Rascals. Because the girl in that was named Darla. Yeah. So I wonder if that's where they got the name. But she was absolutely adorable in terms of welcoming Billy, who's kind of standoffish, to the home.
Right.
And embracing him like, okay, you're my brother. And he's kind of like, what? I just met you. Because he's so standoffish, he doesn't embrace anybody, really.
Right. And everybody's character everybody is an individual character. They're not, like, you know, copy-paste generic people you don't really know. They're all individual characters.
Right. And they have a purpose.
Yeah, they all have a purpose. And I really like, you know, just how like even, you know, the whole idea of an actor playing a kid seems more like an acting exercise. Like,
right.
You know, okay, you're going to be a superhero, but yet you're 14. And that seems like an acting exercise a lot. You know, like in the way Zach Levy was able to do it was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this stuff was like, it reminded me, having lived in Hollywood, when you see the guys dressed in costumes and they're posing for pictures and they're doing tricks and stuff like that for money. I was like, oh, yep, that's what he would do if he could do that.
Right.
You know, he would do these shows. He has these powers, he's showing off, he's making money. For a teenager, that's not a bad gig. He's going into strip bars and even... Like, yeah, but even how they handled that, like,
yeah, it was very tasteful.
Go inside the bar,
exactly. Yeah,
even with the kids that end up in the bar, you know, the little girl's eyes are covered, and one of the boys, although if you caught, he says something to the effect of, "I'm not interested in that." So, he said the big heavy cigar.
Oh, really? Yeah, so he's a gay character then.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't catch that. Okay, cool.
So I'm like, okay, all right. So we're getting real, you know, like I say, it couldn't be more diverse, and you know, it was a very interesting movie. And what I like about it, you know, it's a movie that's set during Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the suspicion that it's going to be a big hit. You know, it's going to play, like, definitely when it releases, when it ends up on cable, Redbox.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's going to be a really good in-flight movie.
Mm-hmm.
It has, like, a lot of replay value.
Yeah, it's something that I definitely, after seeing it that time, I wouldn't have mind seeing it again. Because it's just one of those movies, it makes you feel good. I like the fact that everything wasn't in a pretty bow. Like, you learn that Billy, his mother, it's not that he got lost, because he's looking for his mom, because he thinks he got lost. But it really is that she made the decision to leave him.
Yeah.
And to, let him go into foster care. So they didn't, so this wasn't the happy little, I guess you can't call it happy, but where the parents are responsible and something happens to them. They get killed or they're separated and it's through no fault of the parent. This is a shitty parent for all intents and purposes who had this kid that she didn't know what to do with and got lucky in terms of him getting lost and decided, I'm out.
Yeah, they totally deal with that thread of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Your foster family are the ones stepping up, and your biological family, just totally, there's one where she's like, who's outside? He's like, oh, it's nobody. I'm like, what? I'm like, damn.
Right. His mom said that about Billy, that Billy was nobody.
Yeah. I was like, wow. It makes you wonder, damn, if Billy had stayed with his mom, just how more messed up he would be.
Right. But I think it made him appreciate what he had in terms of this family that is willing to accept him as he is. And I mean, he came in standoffish, like, as soon as I get an opportunity, I'm leaving, so no need to get attached. And he realized, wait a minute, these people have extended their hand. They really care about me. It's not, and I'm the one who's not giving them an opportunity. So I think seeing his meeting with his birth mother gave him a whole new appreciation for the family. Because family is all about, it's family that you choose. And it's family that you're born into. So, I mean, but you can make a choice. And sometimes you're closer to the family that you choose, alias friends, than you are the family that you were born into.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, I'm a little unclear, because we're in spoilers. So there's a scene towards the end of the movie where... he's fighting the seven deadly sins, which, by the way, are really, really well done. They're really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene where they get this magical staff, and Shazam has them, grab the staff, and they say, "Okay, say the thing." And they're like, "Billy."
No, he says, "Say my name." He says, He tells him, "Grab it and say." No, he said, "What is it? Puts your hands in a pile?" Or?
Yeah. He said, "All hands on deck."
Yeah. Yeah, which is something they did at the dinner table. And then he says, "Say my name," and they all grab it and say, "Billy," and he's like, "No, the name that I say when I turn into this," and then they all say,
"Shazam!" And then they're all adult. Teenagers. I mean, I'm sorry. They are adult superheroes.
Right. They all have the lightning bolt and just different color costumes.
Right. Yeah. And it's just really cool just seeing how Megan Good plays Darla, the adult version of Darla, and even the way she acts is like.
Yeah, it's like Darla.
This little girl.
Yeah, because Darla is all hugs and, pink and flowers and everything that sugar and spice and everything nice. That's what Darla is. And so she's a kid who is in an adult body, and she sees Santa Claus. So she's like, "Santa." And then she whispers to him, "My name is Darla, and I've been really good." And so you hear the child while you're seeing this adult, and it's adorable.
It's great.
It's adorable. Yeah.
Like I say, it's so much like even the heavyset kid becomes like super strong.
And, yeah.
He
slims down,
and the little Asian kid becomes really big, and. He's making video game references with his powers because he plays video games.
Right.
It was great. It was great.
Yeah, it was really, really well done. I mean, I felt like it could have been corny at any time, but it straddled the line from being, it kept it from being corny.
It was fun.
It was fun.
And it didn't take
itself. It was campy in some places, yeah. But it was campy cute. It wasn't like campy. Ugh.
Yeah, because like some of the way in death Shazam gets is weird. Like, you know, like in the comics, there's this he has a sidekick who's a, I'm not kidding you, a talking tiger.
Well, I think they kind of, when he gave the kid a tiger.
Yeah, they made
it. I think they kind of.
But in the comics, it's just straight up talking tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that they didn't go that far with it. Mm-hmm. You know, who knows what they could do in the future movies, but it didn't go like way into Weirdsville with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that. I'm starting to see like, they're naturally starting to, so now this is a world where Superman, Batman, everybody, they're doing the important stuff, and the people who kind of slip through the cracks are mm-hmm. Billy Batson, like Superman mm-hmm. isn't coming to save them. Wonder right. Woman, Aquaman's in the ocean. These characters aren't, they're not going to cross paths with these people. And it's just interesting, like, you have a character who is really, like, he doesn't even have a family. He's in foster care. And mm-hmm. and even that, in a way, is kind of looked down on in society. You're not even, seen as a real family.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like that, where, and I thought it was interesting that the main guy who's a villain, he had a family.
Right.
He came from wealth.
Yeah.
But he was denied the powers of Shazam by the wizard because he just can't, he doesn't have a good heart.
Well, and he had a dysfunctional family.
Yeah.
Because his brother was a little shit. And his dad was just preoccupied, I think, with work and I think grooming the brother that
And there's a scene in the boardroom where that really struck me, is like, he's like, so you spend your life accumulating all of this wealth mm-hmm. and all of this power, what does that really mean? And he's standing there with all these monsters.
Right.
So what is really power?
Mm-hmm.
What is the point before they kill him? But it was just kind of like, clearly the wizard knew what he was doing. Billy, there was a scene where these bullies, actually hit the kid with the car, which looked like a straight up lawsuit right there.
Yeah. First of all, the kid who's already on crutches, they hit him with a car, with a truck, no less.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, dang, you scratched my car. Like, dude.
Yeah,
like,
Freddy. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, anyways.
One of his foster brother, Billy Batson's foster brother. The one he connects with the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so at that point, it's really interesting. It's really cool that, Billy is good of heart. He's doing good just because, So,
but they don't make him, he's not a goody two shoes. Because it starts off right away with him still in the cop car.
Yeah.
So they set the scene
all fairness, he didn't steal the cop car. He used the computer. He didn't steal the cop
car. Well, he locked the police in a building so he can get into the cop car and, get on their computer system. So, so he's not exactly Mr. Goody Two Shoes. And he also stole Freddy, his foster brother's bullet.
It was a little weird like that. Like, it didn't seem like he would be into
stealing. Yeah, so it's like he's not this goody two-shoes character. But he has a good heart. Like, sometimes people make poor choices, but it doesn't mean they're a bad person. I think that's what they were trying to say. It doesn't mean that they are a bad person, because despite it all, he was a good person. Like, when it came down to it, he wanted to turn away from his friend once he got hit by the car, realized he couldn't, and he took up for him, even though he didn't really want to get involved. So, I loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah, I loved it too. And then there's a post-credit scene with this caterpillar. And
thankfully you explained this to me, because
this was a deep cut.
Yeah,
this was a real DC deep cut, because I had to look this one up. It's called Mr. Mime. Mm-hmm. And he's this, you know, caterpillar who is brilliant criminal genius, a brilliant mastermind, who has telepathic powers, and I believe has control of various interdimensional realms. It's like, so we're going into like Shazam, like Doctor Strange type mm-hmm. territory. The equivalent of Doctor Strange in the DC universe is called Doctor Fate. And now, you thought Shazam was magic, Doctor Fate is even more so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we get off in some really strange territory. But yeah, all in all, I would give Shazam, if I was to give a letter grade, I'd give it... some of the CG wasn't perfect. Like when Shazam was first flying, I thought that was kind of...
Yeah, that
was kind of hokey.
Yeah, that was not... So it kind of looked old CG.
It was kind of, I'll give it a B+, because it was like, it was moments where the CG is like, you know. And then there was a part where where he's holding the bus up.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the weight, and he's holding the bus by the glass part.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think the weight of the bus would shatter the glass.
Mm-hmm.
Like he should be holding it from the... maybe the bump. I'm just being weird, but he should be holding that from the bumper, because it seems like he has the entire weight of the bus and he's holding the glass that's already cracked. It doesn't mm-hmm. seem to me like...
No. Like, because the force would have shattered it.
It would have shattered the...
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem like, reasonable.
You're catching mistakes.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like that's really logical.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll just forgive it and just go along with it. But that kind of bothers me from a physics standpoint, because mm-hmm. you can see, you know, the weight of... You can barely hold the bus, you know.
Well, there was a few mistakes like that. It's a mistake when the evil character gets shot in the eye the first time, when the glasses fall, it's the opposite eye that he got shot in. So say he got shot in the left mm-hmm. eye, the glasses that he was wearing, the glasses broke on the right eye, for the right eye lens. So it was stuff like that. But all in all, like, again, this is to me, it was definitely, I'll give it like an A-, because mm-hmm. it wasn't perfect, but it was definitely entertaining. It definitely had a great story.
Yeah, the movie's way more entertaining than I thought it could be.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the premise is outlandish, but it worked. It was really entertaining. You have just this horror director who made a superhero film, which is just crazy too to think about. So yeah, this is great.
Yeah. Even his wife is in it briefly.
The director, David F. Sandberg's
wife is in it for a quick cameo, and you know, she was good in her part. And just kind of like, oh wow, I just thought it was really, because they do like a whole lot of horror films together, and he killed her in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh okay, you guys are sticking to your roots here. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right,
yeah. And then the way that the people get killed is still child friendly. It's not so gory that...
Yeah, but people get thrown out the window. Like that part where the guy got tossed out of the window.
Yeah, but
like,
you don't see any blood or anything. So it's not like...
Yeah.
And you don't even hear or see him hit the ground. So it's kind of... still can take,
people were getting,
you know, kids of a certain age to see it, and it's not so grotesque that they wouldn't be able to see it. But again, I give it an A-. I love the story. I thought the actors were very good at playing adult children.
Yeah,
it's
obvious that DC is on the right track. I can't
they're
wait to
on
see
a roll. Three
Joker, Wonder Woman, 84. Bring it on. I can't wait to see what they do next.
And then Harley Quinn.
Oh, I forgot. Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Holy crap. So this is Ellie Robin, DDVIP, with our Shazam review. Check it out in the theaters.
Definitely check it out.
And read the comics. Yeah, you know, because there's so much interesting stuff to it. Thanks for listening.
Deuces.
Peace.
So look, to follow us, you can go to iTunes, tune in. You can like us on Facebook at He Said, She Said, LA Rob, and Be the VIP. There's a lot of He Said, She Said out there, so make sure it says LA Rob and Be the VIP. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at LA Rob and Be the VIP. And if you want to follow LA Rob's shit, I mean his stuff, you can go to Mel Hondo, MaleHondo, at YouTube. Did I say everything?
You did?
See?
Wait, you missed one.
What?
Lord Tyree, LORDTYRE. That one is one of my older.
And I'm not calling him Lord anything, so that's probably why I messed up.
At least not on mic.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Or off mic either.